Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, July 5th, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
All right, before we get started, first thing first here we have, first of all, you see it says, Happy Birthday, Mrs. Sue? No. It's M-I-T-H, Miss Sue. It's Happy Birthday, Miss Sue. And Miss Sue is not in here because she's teaching the kids in the big classroom, so Happy Birthday, Miss Sue! And also, there will be a teacher's meeting after class tonight. Teacher's meeting after class tonight in the big classroom. And I guess half of the face-to-face crowd didn't survive the 4th of July. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments. Silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. The very fact that we are even here this evening is a demonstration of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, that in these last days, while the wheels are coming off the wagon, we thank you that the Lord Jesus Christ controls history. In the time of the great apostasy and degeneracy of Client Nation USA, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven that enables us to grow up in both the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives in the short time that we are here. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. 2 Corinthians, the great epistle on the doctrine of suffering for blessing. And we have seen it all the way through. We've seen it now in chapter 4. We're going to see it through the rest of 2 Corinthians, the great doctrine of suffering for blessing. Let's start the corrected translation of 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7. Now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels, human bodies, for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God and not from the source of us. We are afflicted, oppressed in every way, thlebo. But we absolutely are not stenokoreoed, crushed. We have great inner pressures in our soul, opereo. But we are not totally despairing, ex opereo. We are persecuted, dioko. But we are absolutely not ankatalepoed, abandoned, deserted, forsaken. We are struck down, katabalo. But not destroyed, apolumi. We always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus, that suffering for blessing in the life of the winner believer, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed might be revealed and manifested in our body. Verse 11. For instance, we who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, are constantly being delivered over to death, suffering for blessing, for Jesus' sake, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Well, this is absolutely fantastic. As you live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, as you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, as you have virtue love brought to completion in your heart, you will have suffering for blessing. You qualify. You're qualified now to wear the mantle of suffering for blessing. And as the winner believer receives the suffering for blessing, and I like to illustrate it as running hurdles, spiritual hurdles. As the winner believer clears the spiritual hurdles of suffering for blessing, the life of Jesus is revealed for both man and angels to see. As the winner believer lives the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, the spotlight is put on Jesus Christ. Virtue love is brought to completion in his heart. Personal love for God the Father, that's the great motivational virtue. And that is invisible. Nobody can see that. Nobody can see the personal love for God the Father. Impersonal love for all, that's the great functional virtue. That is visible. The functional virtue of impersonal love for all is visible. And man and angels see that. And occupation with Jesus Christ. He is transformed. The winner believer is transformed into Christ-likeness. 2 Corinthians 3 verse 18 says, "But we all, royal family of God, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror," the mirror is the Word of God, "beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image," Galatians 4:19, "from glory," the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, "to glory," Christ being formed in you. And how is that accomplished? "Just as from the Lord, who is the Spirit," God the Holy Spirit, the universal indwelling of the Spirit as the base of operation for the filling of the Spirit, which is the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. This unique supernatural, it demands supernatural power to live this unique spiritual life. This transformation is a day-by-day renovation in our inner man. Consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine. And that's coming up in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16, which will sound like this. "For this reason, we absolutely do not lose heart, But even though our outer man, our human body, is decaying, being destroyed, turning to miaino, yet our inner man, our heart, keeps on being renewed day by day. Now that's true for the winner believer. That's certainly not true for the loser believer. And this results in several things. It results in Christ being formed in you. That's Galatians 4:19. My children, with whom I am again in labor. And that word labor is the pains of childbirth. Until Christ is formed in you. Christ, it also results in Christ being made at home in your heart. And that's Ephesians 3:16 and 17. Ephesians 3:16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit. There is the filling of the Spirit combined with the teaching ministry of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one and spiritual skill number two of the spiritual life. Through his Spirit in your inner man, so that Christ may be made at home in your hearts. Occupation with Christ through faith. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart. And it results in Christ exalted in your body. Christ exalted in your body, whether you're living or whether you're dying. And that is Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 20. According to my intense concentration and confidence that I will in no way be ashamed at the judgment seat of Christ, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is watching fireworks on the 4th of July. No. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is profit. Now that's the testimony only of the winner believer. To live is Christ, and to die is profit. So as you clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing, you are putting the spotlight on Jesus Christ for both man and angels to see. Then verse 12 says, so then death, that is the dangers of death or suffering for blessing that Paul and his team were constantly going through, works in us, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, but life, spiritual life in you. The post-positive conjunction de is the conjunction of contrast, correctly translated but, and death sets up a contrast between death and life. It contrasts the dangers of death or suffering for blessing of Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus with the spiritual life being lived by positive believers in Corinth who are responding to the teaching of these great communicators and growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Hey, Zoe is the life, and the life includes, first of all, eternal life, as a result of faith in Jesus Christ, but also the spiritual life, the unique spiritual life of the church age as a result of consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine taught by these great communicators, Paul, Titus, Timothy, and Silvanus. The positive believers in Corinth learned how to live the spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skills. And therefore, out of Paul's suffering for blessing, came great blessing to the positive and humble believers in Corinth. They were now living the spiritual life with all of its blessings. Maximum pressure, affliction, suffering that Paul faced and endured resulted in the communication of fantastic mysterion, church age truth doctrine to believers in Corinth. What were those fantastic mysterion, church age truth doctrines? The doctrine of the unique spiritual life of the church age. It never lived in any other dispensation in history. Only in the church age, first of all by Jesus Christ and the hypostatic union, and then passed on to the royal family of God in the church age. And the doctrines related to the spiritual skills, the doctrines of the indwelling of the Spirit, which is the base of operations for the filling of the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit. Spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine and executing God's plan, will, and purpose for their life. And also the doctrine of suffering for blessing. And that is the epistle of 2 Corinthians. The doctrine of suffering for blessing, providential preventative suffering, momentum testing, evidence testing, and the doctrines of the essence of God, and the doctrines of the grace and power of God. All of these. So maximum pressure, affliction, suffering that Paul faced and endured resulted in the communication of these fantastic doctrines to the believers in Corinth. And the prepositional phrase, N plus the dative plural of the personal pronoun, su, in you. In you refers to believers in Corinth. Those positive believers in Corinth. Those believers in Corinth that have humility. Respect for the authority of God. Respect for the authority of the Word of God. Respect for the authority of the communicators of God's Word. So then, death, suffering, the dangers of death, suffering for blessing, works in us, Paul, Timothy, Titus, and Silvanus, but life, the spiritual life, in you. One. Paul saw his suffering for blessing. He saw his suffering as great blessing. Great blessing not only for himself, but great blessing for those that he was teaching. So Paul saw his suffering as great blessing. Two, Paul wanted to know Christ, occupation with Christ. And he wanted to know the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. Now, the only suffering that Christ ever received was undeserved suffering, suffering for blessing. And the Apostle Paul wanted to know Christ, occupation with Christ, and he wanted to know the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, suffering for blessing. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3, verse 10. Paul says, I want to know Christ. That is, to have virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. To have occupation with Jesus Christ, which the other side of the coin is sharing the happiness of God. I want to know Christ, occupation with Christ, and the power of his resurrection. The same power that resurrected Christ from the dead is the power we have to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. The unique spiritual life is the supernatural way of life. It demands supernatural power. That power that raised Christ from the dead is the power that we have to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. And Paul says, I want to know Christ, occupation with Christ, and I want to know the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. Suffering for blessing. And the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. Jesus Christ had great undeserved suffering. The greatest illustration of undeserved suffering and suffering for blessing is the cross. Jesus Christ was impeccable, sinless perfection. He hadn't even committed one sin, and He was executed as a criminal. It was all undeserved suffering, suffering for blessing. And the Apostle Paul understood all that, and he makes this surprising statement. I want to fellowship in the sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. So he wanted to know Christ, occupation with Christ, and the fellowship of sharing in His suffering, suffering for blessing, Philippians 3:10. Three, Paul was motivated by spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, and by spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine in his heart. Paul was motivated by spiritual skill number one, the filling of the Spirit, and spiritual skill number two, consistent and faithful metabolization of doctrine in his heart, to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and His suffering for blessing. To follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and His suffering for blessing. Philippians chapter 2. Paul begins at verse 5 and he says, your thinking, this is addressed to all of us, royal family of God, your thinking, your mental attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature, in His essence, God, He is eternal deity, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing. Kenao, the true doctrine of kenosis, voluntary non-use of certain divine attributes to carry out the incarnation plan of God the Father and Operation Grace the Cross. But made Himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man. He was true undiminished deity, verse 6, and true humanity, verse 8. He humbled Himself. He humbled Himself and became obedient. Obedient to the incarnation plan of God the Father, Operation Grace, which recalled on the Lord Jesus Christ in hypostatic union to go to a cross and solve the world problem of sin. To go through the greatest example of undeserved suffering and suffering for blessing. He humbled Himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So Paul was motivated. He was motivated by the filling of the Spirit, spiritual skill number one of the spiritual life, and metabolized doctrine in his heart, spiritual skill number two, of the spiritual life, to follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ and His suffering for blessing. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. 4. Paul believed that his own sufferings were a means through which God could minister to the believers in Corinth. Paul believed that his own sufferings, his suffering for blessing as a spiritually mature believer, were a means through which God could minister to the believers in Corinth. Now we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul taught this in 2 Corinthians 1. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 5 and 6. In 2 Corinthians 1 verse 5 he says, "For just as the sufferings of Christ overflow to us, winner believers, so also our comfort and encouragement overflows in our hearts by means of Christ." Verse 6, "But if we receive maximum pressure, suffering for blessing, first class condition, and we do, it is for the benefit of your encouragement." You believers in Corinth, it's for the benefit of your encouragement and comfort and deliverance. "Or if we receive comfort and encouragement, first class condition, and we do, it is for the benefit of your comfort and your encouragement, which produces steadfast endurance," endurance and perseverance, "of the same suffering for blessing which we also suffer." Well, that's fantastic. He already taught this. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 5 and 6. So Paul believed his own sufferings were a means through which God could minister to the believers in Corinth. 2 Corinthians 1, 5 and 6. 5. "As Christ had brought the gift of eternal life to mankind through his suffering and death, his salvation work on the cross, Operation Grace, as Christ had brought the gift of eternal life to mankind through his suffering and death, the salvation work, his salvation work on the cross, Operation Grace, so Paul's suffering was a means of communicating the great spiritual life of the church age to the believers in Corinth. So Paul's suffering was a means of communicating the great spiritual life of the church age to the believers in Corinth. And by them living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, they could also have great suffering for blessing. So verse 2 Corinthians 4, 10 through 12 sounds like this. "We always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus, suffering for blessing of the winner believer, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed might be revealed, manifested in our body. For instance, we who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, are constantly being delivered over to death, suffering for blessing, for Jesus' sake, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So that death," or the dangers of death, suffering for blessing, "works in us," Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, "but life, the spiritual life, is working in you," the positive, humble believers in Corinth. Now that brings us to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 13 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 18. The believer's impact in clearing the hurdles of suffering for blessing. The believer's impact in clearing the hurdles of suffering for blessing. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 through 18. 2 Corinthians 4, 13 and 14. A question. What enabled the Apostle Paul to clear these hurdles of suffering for blessing? Well, we know it's God's problem-solving devices. There are 10 problem-solving devices, and the Apostle Paul had all 10 of them out on the flat line of his soul. And the Apostle Paul used all of them. He used all of them. He used the personal sense of destiny. He used the faith, rest, life. He used virtue, love, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all, occupation with Jesus Christ. He used sharing the happiness of God. He used all of these problem-solving devices of spiritual adulthood. He used all of them. But in verses 13 and 14, he's putting the spotlight on one specific problem-solving device. And this is introduced by a quotation from Psalm 116, verse 10. A psalm by the spiritually mature believer, human author, David. Now, you have to understand the Old Testament. Spirituality was not living the unique spiritual life of the church age. That was in the church age. There was no church age. They had no unique spiritual life. Spirituality in the church age is the filling of the Spirit. There was no filling of the Spirit. There was no indwelling of the Spirit for David. There was no filling of the Spirit for David. There was endowment of the Spirit for carry out a few tasks, but there was no indwelling or filling of the Spirit. So spirituality in the church age, filling of the Spirit. But spirituality in the Old Testament was the faith rest life. So we got a different dispensation, the age of Israel. In the age of Israel, spirituality is the faith rest life. In the church age, spirituality is the filling of the Spirit. But in David's time, in the age of Israel, there was no indwelling and filling of the Spirit. There was no unique spiritual life that we have today in the church age. But Paul is taking, what he's doing here is going back and looking at spirituality. Spirituality of a spiritually mature believer in the age of Israel. David, a man after the Lord's own heart. And he's going to use that to focus on that problem-solving device in verses 13 and 14. So in our passage, Paul is emphasizing one specific problem-solving device, the faith rest life. All right? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. We, having the same spirit of faith, we always start with the King James, not very thundering diction, but here it is. We, having the same spirit of faith. Now, this is the post-positive conjunction deb plus the present active participle of echo plus the accusative singular neuter of pneuma with the definite article plus the accusative singular neuter of the intensive pronoun autos, plus the genitive singular pistis with the definite article. All right, we start out with the post-positive conjunction de. Did you get a picture of that, Sue's happy birthday? Well, what's wrong with you? Yeah, okay. D-E. Anybody want to take a picture and give it to Miss Sue? No? Okay, forget it. But, post-positive conjunction de, the conjunction of contrast but, de contrasts first of all the suffering for blessing with the solution for the suffering. So it contrasts the suffering for blessing with the solution for the suffering. Secondly, it contrasts the hurdle with the technique to clear the hurdle. Contrast the hurdle with the technique to clear the hurdle. Third, it contrasts suffering with the faith rest life. And then we have the verb echo. E-C-H long O, echo. And echo means to have and to hold. It means to possess. The present tense is linear action, sark, keep on having. The active voice, Paul and his team, keep on having the problem-solving device of the faith rest life. Now, they have all the problem-solving devices. They have all 10 of them out on the flat line of the soul, but the one that the Apostle Paul is emphasizing in verses 13 and 14 is the faith rest line. So the active voice Paul and his team keep on having, the problem-solving device of the faith rest life out on the flat line of their soul. The participle is circumstantial means. Circumstantial means. It tells the means by which the action of a finite verb is carried out. And the finite verb is pisteuo. That's P-I-S-T-E-U-O. Pisteuo. And pisteuo is the verb to believe. Now, we have a word that we, on Thursday night class, we have gone through this word pneuma in great detail. Now, here's a surprise for you. P-N-E-U-M-A. In our verse, we have another use for pneuma that we didn't even study in 1 John on Thursday night. So, we have studied pneuma in 1 John chapter 4. We have learned that pneuma has many different meanings, many different uses. It can mean blowing and breathing and wind and the breathing out of air. It can mean breath. It can mean that which gives life to the body. It refers sometimes to God the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. It sometimes refers to the human spirit of the believer in Jesus Christ. The unbeliever does not have a human spirit. The unbeliever is dichotomous. He has a body and a soul, but no human spirit. Why? He's in spiritual death. So he only has a body and a soul. The unbeliever is dichotomous. But the believer, at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, God the Holy Spirit creates a human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit. Regeneration, he's born again, and all believers are trichotomous, body, soul, and human spirit. So sometimes it's used for the human spirit. It also is used for spirit beings, for angels. Elect angels are called spirits, and for evil spirits, demons. And it is also used for people. It can mean communicators of the Word of God, and that's our passage in 1 John 4, 1 through 4 on Thursday nights. So it can refer to communicators of the Word of God, influential speakers, persuasive speakers, like the Gnostics in that time, and Gnosticism being taught, and Cerinthus in the Apostle John's congregation, leading many, many believers astray into the cosmic system. These communicators are either influenced by evil spirits, demons, or by God the Holy Spirit. Therefore, it is absolutely necessary for the believer in Jesus Christ to test the spirits, examine, analyze the spirits, to see if these persuasive speakers are influenced by demons or are they influenced by the filling of the Spirit and by the grace and power of God. That's 1 John 4, verses 1 through 4 in a Thursday night class. But now we have a new use for pneuma. Pneuma can also refer to a state of mind. Thinking, state of mind or thinking. And that is how pneuma is used in our verse, 2 Corinthians 4:13. So now you're up to seven different uses of pneuma. I know you call it pneuma. That's nobody, you won't go to hell for saying that. So this is how pneuma is used in our verse, a state of mind or thinking. Used specifically of the state of mind, thinking, the problem-solving device of the faith rest life. Faith rest was spirituality in the Old Testament time, the age of Israel. But faith rest is still a problem-solving device that is very, very important and an adult problem-solving device today in the church age. And then we have also the intensive pronoun autos. Autos, A-U-T-O-S. Now this, here it's actually used as an intensive pronoun. It isn't used that way very often in Koine Greek, the Greek of the New Testament scriptures. In classical Greek, it was always an intensive pronoun. But in Koine Greek, the Greek of the Bible, most of the time it's used as the third person personal pronoun. But here it's actually used as an intensive pronoun, and it means the same. The same spirit is the same thinking. The same thinking, the same faith rest technique as a problem solving device. So here is the classical use of the intensive pronoun autos. The same spirit, the same thinking, the same faith rest life. And then the genitive singular of pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. And pistis, is sometimes it's used for faith. Here it's used for the faith rest technique, the faith rest life. So the corrected translation so far says, but by means of having the same spirit of faith, the faith rest life as a problem-solving device out on the flat line of the soul, but by means of having the same spirit of faith, the faith, the same thinking of the faith rest life, the same faith rest technique out on the flat line of the soul. And then he, now the Apostle Paul, who knew the Old Testament inside and out, will now quote from the Old Testament. According as it is written, kata ta gegramanon. This is the preposition kata plus the articular perfect passive participle of grapho. Kata, K-A-T-A. Kata means according to a norm and standard of, according here, according to what is written. The verb grapho is the verb to write. We have kata gegramanon. This is a special formula. I'll put it up here just like it is. Kata gegramanon. There's kata, K-A-T-A. And this is G-E-G-R-A-M-M-E-N-O-N. Kata gegramanon. This is a special formula for introducing quotations from the Old Testament scriptures. The Apostle Paul is now quoting spiritually mature believer David from Psalm 116, verse 10. Great passage. Let's turn over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Now, let's just go ahead and start at the beginning. I just want you to see how this psalm begins. David says, I love the Lord. This is occupation with Jesus Christ. Here is a spiritually mature believer, David, who loves the Lord. Now, everybody knows about David's sins, but then how would you like it if everybody knew about your sins? But his are recorded in the Bible, so we know about David's sins, but why is David a spiritually mature believer and a man after the Lord's own heart? Because he loves the Lord. occupation with Jesus Christ. Did he sin? Sure he sinned. He sinned. He got into reversionism and almost crashed and burned, but he rebounded, got back into fellowship with God, recovered, and went on to maturity and glorified God to the maximum. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. He hears the voice of the winner believer. He hears my prayer for mercy, grace in action, because he turned his ear to me. I will call on him as long as I live. And then he even goes into his failures. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. This is his failures. So here you have a winner believer who loves the Lord, occupied with Christ, and did he sin? Yes. Did he get into reversionism? Yes. Did he come close to maximum sin unto death? Yes. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, deliver me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. Boy, the Lord preserves the ones who live by faith. When I was in great need, he saved me. He delivered me. Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has been good to you. For you, O Lord, have delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, my feet from stumbling, that I may walk before the Lord in the land of the living. So he starts out, he's showing you his failures. He starts out, he's recovered from his failures. He's now a believer who loves the Lord, occupied with Christ. He's in spiritual maturity. But he reveals his failures. And he recovered by the grace of God through rebound and got up and moved on all the way to spiritual maturity. Now, verse 10. I believe. This is faith rest. This is spirituality. Here's the spirituality of a spiritually mature believer in the age of Israel. I believe, faith rest life, spirituality of a winner believer. Therefore, I communicated the absolute truth of God's word. Now he will go on and say, I am greatly afflicted. And in my dismay, I said, all men are liars. How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of deliverance and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly, I am your servant. I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. You have freed me from my chains. I will sacrifice a thank offering to you and call on the name of the Lord. Well, here's this great psalm. It starts out, I love the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ. But the part, the only part that the Apostle Paul quotes is verse 10. I believe, spirituality, live the faith rest life, and therefore I communicated the grace and truth of God's word. So this is what the Apostle Paul is quoting. I believed, and therefore have I communicated the grace and truth of your word. Now, this is exactly what the Apostle Paul is emphasizing. This is the aorist active indicative of pisteuo plus the inferential conjunction deo plus the aorist active indicative of laleo. Pisteuo, we had the noun pistis, now the verb. P-I-S-T-E-U long O, pisteuo. And a couple of things. One, pisteuo means to believe in something. To believe in something, to be convinced of something. Two, it means to trust. To trust in the grace and in the power of God. To trust, to believe in the grace and in the power of God. Three, it means confidence that the Lord is in a position to help the believer in times of great suffering for blessing. It is confidence that the Lord is in a position to help the believer in times of great suffering. Here, suffering for blessing. This is maximum confidence in God. Maximum confidence in the Word of God, the promises of God's Word, the doctrines in God's Word. Three, or I don't think I'm giving points. Therefore, this is the faith rest life as a problem-solving device to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. And then we have the inferential conjunction dio, D-I-O, dio. And dio means therefore, for this reason, because of this. We'll translate it therefore. And now we have the verb laleo. L-A-L-E long O, laleo. Now laleo means to speak, it means to communicate. Laleo is the basic verb for the communication of Bible doctrine. Both pisteuo and laleo, they are both in the aorist active indicative. Aorist active indicative. Pisteuo is in the aorist tense. The aorist tense is a constative aorist. The constative aorist, which views David's faith rest life, his spirituality in its entirety. Faith rest was the spirituality for Old Testament believers. The active voice, spiritually mature believer David performs the actions of living the faith rest life to the maximum. The indicative mood declarative, dogmatic fact of David's spirituality in the age of Israel. Likewise, laleo is in the aorist tense, and it's a constative aorist, viewing David's communication of Bible doctrine in its entirety. The active voice, spiritually mature believer David, performs the action of communicating the grace and truth of the Word of God. The indicative mood is declarative, viewing this from the standpoint of certainty, reality, absolute fact. So, corrected translation. But, by means of having the same spirit of faith, faith rests as a problem-solving device out on the flat line of the soul. According to what is written, quotation from Psalm 116, verse 10. I believed David's spirituality, David's faith rest life. Therefore, I spoke, I communicated the grace and truth of the Word of God. Now, we also believe and therefore speak, the Apostle Paul says. This is the conjunction chi plus the nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego plus the present active indicative of pistewo plus the inferential conjunction do repeated with the conjunction chi and the present active indicative of laleo. The nominative plural of the personal pronoun ego e.g. long o ego means we, and we refers to Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus. That's the we. The use of the personal pronoun puts the spotlight on these winner believers, these faithful communicators of God's absolute truth, the grace and truth of the Word of God, living the faith rest life, having a great spiritual life, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. The conjunction chi I don't put it up if it's a continuative chi, but this is not a continuative chi. The conjunction chi is an adjunctive chi, and you translate it also. And then we have pistewo repeated again, which means to believe, emphasizing the problem-solving device of the faith-rest life. The present tense, Paul, Timothy, and Titus keep on using the faith-rest technique to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. Now, they use all the problem-solving devices, but the one that Paul's putting the spotlight on is the faith-rest life. So, the present tense, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus kept on living the faith rest life to clear the hurdles of suffering for blessing. The active voice, Paul and his team performed the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative, presenting the maximum faith rest life, spiritual life of the Apostle Paul, Pastor Timothy, Titus as absolute reality and fact. Once again, the inferential conjunction do means therefore. The conjunction chi once again is adjunctive. Also, laleo again means to communicate the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. The present tense, Paul, Timothy, and Titus keep on communicating the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. The active voice, Paul, Timothy, and Titus perform the action of the verb. Consistent and faithful communication of God, the God-breathed scriptures and grace and truth. The indicative mood declarative seen from the viewpoint of certainty, reality, absolute fact. So, here's the verb. This great verse. Corrected translation now. But by means of having the same spirit of faith, faith rest, as a problem-solving device out on the flat line of the soul, according to what is written, quotation from Psalm 116, verse 10, I believed David's faith rest life. Therefore, I spoke, communicated the grace and truth of the Word of God. We also believe Paul and his team, faith rest life and spiritual life. Therefore, we also speak, we also communicate the grace and truth of the Word of God. Now, isn't that powerful? Go do some push-ups or something. Right? Yeah, that's a pretty... Okay, well, it's very exciting for me. I'll give it to you again. It was just so great. But by means of having the same spirit of faith, faith rests as the problem-solving device out on the flat line of the soul, according to what is written, quotation from Psalm 116, verse 10, I believe David's faith rest life, his spirituality. Therefore, I spoke, I communicated the grace and truth of the Word of God. So then Paul says, we also believe, Paul and his team, faith, rest, life, and living the spiritual life. Therefore, we also speak, communicate the grace and truth of the Word of God. With our heads bowed. Father, we thank you for your grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.